Y'all here next week? Are you not here next month? Hello?
Dr. Escalata, this is Victoria. I'll be sending you some information that this matter will be continued at the May meeting. You won't need to attend. At that meeting, the board will just be adopting the order, after which I'll send you a copy. Okay?
Okay, then the disciplinary action, then that's special, I'll hear about it?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Okay, all right. I better go to a HIPAA replacement right now, too.
Okay, all right. You can disconnect the call. Thank you, then.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right. Next up.
It's that time.
Yeah, that's all that's back. So let's go back to our initial investigative review, section two. Let's do back up to the top, number one, 2229. Tracy Drews, assembly, please.
Yes, and Dr. Thompson has recused for this one. Case 2229, the complainant is Wojcik Gonzalez. The respondent is Andrew Tornell, DVM. On October 21st, 2020, Zoe and 11-year-old intact male Labrador X was presented to respondent due to decreased appetite, increased thirst, and worsening diarrhea. Complainant declined and recommended diagnostics except for in-house blood work. And due to the changes in the blood work, respondent reported to complainant that the dog had significant infection inflammation. Additional diagnostics were recommended, which were declined. Respondent also recommended supportive care, which complainant also declined, except for antibiotics. The dog was discharged with antibiotics and recommendation for recheck exam in 1 to 3 days. On October 30th, 2020, the dog was presented to respondent's associate for evaluation. The dog was diagnosed with high matrix and surgery was recommended. Complainant approved and surgery was performed. The following day, the dog passed away. Complainant believes the dog was misdiagnosed and surgery was performed unnecessarily. We suspected the dog had food poisoning after eating green onions. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
All right, we have no respondent. Mr. Stoll, monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complainant. Dr. Thompson is recused, and Dr. Wright is the lead.
Yes, thank you. So going through and looking at all this, reading this, I agree with the investigative committee that I'm not seeing a violation here. So I make a motion to dismiss this with no violation.
Second.
Motion for a second to dismiss with no violation. Is there any further discussion?
Just to confirm, there's no connection between ingesting green onions and pyrometrol?
You stole my thunder.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute. No.
Thank you.
It's
not often I get to steal your thunder.
All right, the motion on the floor is to dismiss. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes. 2229 is dismissed. Next up is 2234. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Yes. Case 2234, the complainant is Rita Schlager. The respondent is Sarah Matajak, DVM. On August 20th, 2021, the respondent received a message from Chaparral Veterinary Medical Center's emergency call system to examine Disco, a 23-year-old thoroughbred mare. Respondent examined the horse and related her findings to complainant. Due to the horse's severe pain, a large colon volvulus was suspected from surgery and made euthanasia was recommended. Pain and medication was administered to the horse. Complainant's son asked respondent to administer treatment he thought was appropriate. Respondent declined and was later asked to leave. Complainant expressed concern that respondent examined and treated the horse without her consent. Dr. Dierzek from Southwest Equine arrived later that evening to evaluate the horse. After exam, Dr. Dierzek recommended hospitalization and surgery for the horse's condition. Complainant declined, only approving IV fluid and sedation. Dr. Dierzek left for several hours and was called back out during the early morning hours of August 21st, 2021. After her recommendations for diagnostics were declined, she offered humane euthanasia. Complainant approved, and the horse was humanely euthanized. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, we have no respondent. Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complainant. And Dr. Byrne, you're the lead on this one.
Yes, so I'm the lead in case 2234. Reviewing the history and all the documents provided by both veterinarians and the complainant, there was nothing medically wrong that Dr. Matajek had performed. She actually, they had two veterinarians attend the same horse. I don't exactly know why that was, unless they just called two people to see who got there first. Yeah, everything she did was clinically up to speed. She administered non-steroidals and sedation. And horses that get large colon volvuloses or displacements of that nature are, they're kind of like GDV dogs. They basically become real acute abdomens and cardiovascular risks. And the sitting on the horse and administering fluids would not have been curative in this case. It only would have been supportive, you know, for cardiovascular support in preparation for surgery. So, you know, surgery or euthanasia were the only two outcomes for this animal. Unfortunately, it went overnight before he got it from a subsequent veterinarian due to the communication issues. But the complainant asked Dr. Majak to leave, so at that point I felt like he had released her from her duties or she found a conflict appropriate. So I would agree with the investigative committee and make a motion to dismiss.
Second.
The motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 2234. Any further discussion? I guess I would just point out that in the complainant narrative, it's not the whole truth, nothing but the truth, because she's telling the respondent that there's another veterinarian on the way, it's almost there, when that veterinarian hadn't even been called yet. The veterinarian reports, the other veterinarian reports she got that call about 9 p.m., which would have been about 2 hours after the other veterinarian was asked to leave. So she wasn't called out there and on the way, as the complaint said in their complaint, so.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that. I mean, she got basically called two referral hospitals and got
It was a trainer or something that made the initial call.
Because it was hard to figure out how the complaint would have a relationship with the secondary, not the primary. When the primary was actually a boarded surgeon. So I mean, you actually got an initial and a referral and the, you know, I mean.
Yeah, two opinions there.
Yeah, you got three actually.
Three, yeah.
All right, motion on the floor is to dismiss. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. 2234 is dismissed. Next up is 2235. Casey, would you read the summary, please?
Yes. Case 2235. The complainant is Product Lurksrud. The respondent is Anita Lauter Morris, DVM. On July 31st, 2021, 4-year-old intact female border collie mix was presented to respondent for skin issues. Respondent examined the dog and noted severe extensive chronic skin inflammation and infection. The dog also had hot spots, an ear infection, mammary masses, muscle atrophy, and muscle atrophy of the hind limbs and swelling in the cycles. Respondent attempted to relay all of the dog's issues to complainant, but was told only to focus on the dog's skin issues. Diagnostics and recommended and approved, responded to laser results and provided a treatment plan. She emphasized the importance on follow-up to monitor the dog's progress, repeat blood work, and evaluate the other medical problems. The dog was discharged with medications. On August 16, 2021, complainant requested a refill of the medication and scheduled a recheck appointment. On September 3, 2021, the doctor responded for a recheck appointment. The dog's appetite had decreased, she had lost weight, and the skin had improved despite complainant not consistently giving the dog the medication. Blood and urine was collected for testing, and the dog was administered a steroid injection prior to discharge. On September 4, 2021, due to respondent being out of the office, her associate relayed to complainant that the dog had kidney failure and should be seen in an emergency facility for 24-hour care and hospitalization. The dog was hospitalized for 2 days. The dog's condition worsened and complainant chose to take the dog home. On September 6, 2021, the dog passed away at home. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
We have no respondent, Mr. Stoll, monitoring.
Yes, sir.
No complainant, and Dr. Wright, you are the lead.
Yes, and again, going through this, there was kidney disease that progressed to kidney failure, but I didn't see anything medically that was done wrong or any problems here. It's just an unfortunate situation. And then the dog progressed to not producing urine, which is not good at all. But I don't think this is the fault of the veterinarian and treatment that was given. So I would make a motion to dismiss this with no violation.
Second.
A motion for a second to dismiss 2235. Is there any further discussion?
I don't disagree with that. I'm just kind of curious because I'm reading the records, and one of the rule-outs was pyometra, but that we would wait to address the pyometra until the skin was improved. Like, yeah. I was just like, I'm not sure if that's quite the route that you'd want to go, but...
Is the skin going to improve before the sun sets?
Right. So
that's the rule.
That was just an interesting piece in the medical record for me. But.
I saw that too, yes. I mean, I don't relish cutting through nasty skin, no. But sometimes it's your only option in certain mm-hmm. cases. So yeah, no, that was kind of a little too, but mm-hmm.
Was that with the vets? Was that the vet's recommendation, or that's what she wrote about what the client told her? No, I only want to do the skin stuff.
No, I got the doctor said, let's try to treat this, and then we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, open pyometra you can treat for a while, as long as you're stable otherwise, but still, it's not. I cut those. Pyometra is 100% a surgical disease, my consideration.
What Mr. Lowy said, that she's the owner started out the conversation. I don't want you to do anything about anything but the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, what can you do?
So, in my notes, I had, diagnostics were refused, and non-compliant with medications.
Yeah, with partial treatment course. At least we approved a little bit with partial treatment course.
And I use that 9-letter F word again.
Yeah.
All right. So the motion on the floor is to dismiss 2235. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes, and 2235 is dismissed. Next up, we have. Let's do our three pack. 22, 43, 44, and 45. They're all the same summary, aren't they?
Yes. So case 22-43, the complainant is Deborah Perry. The respondent is Derek Matthews, DVM. Case 22-44, the complainant is Deborah Perry. The respondent is Sage Hubert, DVM. And case 22-45, the complainant is Deborah Perry. And the respondent is Haley Turner, DVM. And in January 2020, Bailey, an approximately 10-year-old male Bichon Shih Tzu mix, was diagnosed with a complex arrhythmia by a cardiologist, Dr. Miller. Pacemaker implantation was considered, and the dog's condition was closely monitored. myocarditis was suspected. Throughout the year, the dog's condition stabilized but later progressed, and chemobending was initiated. On July 20th, 2021, the dog was evaluated by Dr. Matthews and Dr. Hubert. Diagnostics were performed. Due to the progression of the dog's heart disease, spironolactone was initiated. Dr. Miller was in agreement with the treatment. On July 27th, 2021, the dog collapsed twice after evaluation. The primary care veterinarian, Dr. Izumi, referred the dog to the cardiologist. Dr. Turner evaluated the dog on intake, then turned the dog over to the cardiology department. The spironolactone was discontinued based on complaint concerns. The complainant had several discussions with the cardiology department regarding her concerns that the spironolactone had caused the dog to decline. On August 12, 2021, the dog was evaluated by Dr. Miller. He felt the dog's condition was progressing and recommended restarting the spironolactone at a lower dose. Complainant chose not to restart the medication. On August 26, 2021, the dog collapsed, was taken to an emergency facility, and was humanely euthanized. And the committee concluded that no violation of the veterinary practice had occurred, and it is moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0. And that was on all three cases, 2243, 2244, and 2245. Deborah Perry, she also submitted some additional statement Monday for your review, and that is available on the file.
Which folder on the cloud? Was it there last night?
It was there last night.
Okay.
It's brief. It's not in the folder. It's on the cloud and the main folder, and it has yellow highlighting on the top. It should say 2243, 44, and 45, post-IC CBD, and also post-IC statement.
Okay, from the complaint?
Yes.
Yeah. So we have submitted statements from the three respondents. Mr. Stoll monitoring?
Yes, for all three.
Okay, for all three. I'm misreading the complaint and submitted statements for all three. Okay. I was looking at them wrong. All right, so we got that, and Dr. Nosley is the lead on all three of those.
Okay, looking at these three cases, it was a complex cardiology case that went on for a long period of time. It had a severe arrhythmia, life-threatening, could be life-threatening, and progressing cardiac muscle disease, myocarditis, chamber enlargement, all progressing toward congestive heart failure. It was somewhat complicated by the waxing and waning course initially of the arrhythmia. Made it go on for a long period of time, but I think the doctors involved in this, two board certified cardiologists and a resident, performed detailed, apparently very competent case management. The owner was very compliant. I think there were basically two complaints that somehow spironolactone prescribed led to the deterioration of the patient's condition. I think that's often the case where you have a declining patient. A medication that has been prescribed is often blamed for that. But there's no evidence of that. The doses were appropriate. In addition to that, the complainant's original cardiologist, who she didn't have any problems with, actually at one point then put the patient back on spironolactone. So I don't see any merit there. She also states that the pet did not have heart failure. And there's this question of prescribing the spironolactone to a patient without heart failure. The doctors were prescribing that being proactive. They were worried that this case was rapidly proceeding toward congestive heart failure, and then were very proactive and jumped in there with this spironolactone, which I think is entirely appropriate. We don't often get to be proactive like that. The congestive heart failure, that's a definition. I personally don't like that term early in the course. I prefer to use congestive heart disease because clients go down this road when they hear the word failure. And when I see an animal in failure, I use the term failure. So there's a lot of misunderstanding around the clients. We definitely had increasing cardiomegaly, multiple serial imaging. There was a cough present, true. It could have been respiratory. But there was a cough, which is one of the symptoms of congestive heart failure. So if not in congestive heart failure, it was very close. The doctors were, again, being very proactive in attempting to delay the progression of the disease, and then we have this complication on the aortic. So kind of in summary, the case management, I feel, was excellent. And I couldn't find any violations of the practice at all. So if anyone has any comments.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, we kind of centered around this spironolactone thing, but I mean, spironolactone is a good drug. I've used it from time to time in heart failure, but it's a competitive aldosterone inhibitor. Aldosterone is already at a pretty low level in dogs, so there's a lot of argument out there as, does it actually do anything? Yeah. No, like I said, I will use it in those cases of heart failure where we're having a lot of other issues, but to be honest, if you're reaching for spironolactone in heart failure, you're starting to scrape the bottom of the barrel. I mean, there's not a whole lot of other options. I mean, heart failure, heart disease is going to be progressive in animals, always. They may not progress to a point where it actually they go into failure or die from this, but it's always going to be progressive. So I think we are kind of centered on that spironolactone, and we did possibly have an adverse reaction to it with the vomiting, but I mean, between vomiting and death,
yeah,
sometimes you have to make that decision. So, like I said, I don't think the spironolactone did anything wrong. Like I said, there's a lot of questions on to what it actually does, but I think it was a good choice in these cases. But like I said, this was just progression of disease. This dog was unfortunately going downhill, and there was not much anybody could do to stop it. So, yeah, I after saying that, I do agree and second that motion. That was a motion, right?
Maybe.
Oh, well, then we'll see what happens. I'll leave it as a surprise.
At least he can do it confidently now. And we're going to do one at a time.
Yeah. So I would make a motion in 2243 to dismiss with no violation.
I'm going to second that, surprisingly enough.
Motion on floor, a second to dismiss in case 2243. Any further discussion? I guess I'll throw one thing out there as a layperson who does not understand the EKG terminology as they're reading and describing that, and the back and forth of, we need to do a pacesetter. No, we need to do a pacemaker. No, we shouldn't do it. Yeah, we should do a pacemaker. Nah.
I mean,
it flip-flopped
yeah.
A few different times, and I'm like, I'm a little confused. So, that part I could see for a layperson going back and forth, going, why are we not doing it, and now we want to do it, and now we don't want to do it again.
Yeah.
Could be confusing.
I agree, yeah.
So, but other than that, that was a, and there's no indication in the complaint that there was any communication issues where that was a problem, right? So, and there was no complaint about that. So, I'm just letting you know it's hard for me to read through this.
Very complex.
All right, the motion on the floor is to dismiss 2243. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes.
And then I'd like to make a motion in 2244 to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss 2244. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes.
And then a motion in 2245 to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss 2245. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. And those three cases are dismissed. And we are at our appointed time for our next informant.